Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, that announcer guy just doesn't pay attention. I've been telling our listeners all day, this is not Tim Wildman, it's Ed Vitagliano. Sitting in for Tim Wildman, the guy just doesn't listen when I talk. We've got Steve Jordahl in this morning, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Steve,
good morning. Good morning, Ray.
And good morning, Steve.
And Ray, I mentioned before the break, Key Believing Ministries. Tell our listeners your website, what people can find there.
Well, the website is keepbelieving.com. You know, this is March the 14th. It's the 14th day of Lent. And one thing we're doing on our website is giving away a free Lenten devotional ebook called Faces Around the Cross. And for the 47 days from Ash Wednesday through Easter Sunday, there's a different devotion each day. Yesterday, we talked about Jesus and render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and to God the things that are God. And today about the Sadducees and their trick question, whose wife is she going to be? And I just mentioned that to say that if you're looking for a way to strengthen your own walk with the Lord in these weeks leading up to Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter, love for you to come to keepbelieving.com. You'll see a great big banner that says Faces Around the Cross. Click on it. You can download it. We've got it in three different Kindle, EPUB, and PDF. And every day, guys, I'm getting up at 6:30 in the morning and doing a Facebook Live video that's based on the devotion for the day. So if you want to read it, you can read it. If you want to see my smiling face on Facebook, we link to that off our website too. That's keepbelieving.com.
Wait a second. So if people want to see what you look like at 6:30 in the morning.
Let me tell you, I'm having to get up about 5 o'clock just to make myself ready, presentable to go on Facebook.
The truth outs.
Hey, Ray, when is Easter this year?
It is April the 16th.
April the 16th. Of course, I want to, you know, we do have some listeners from the Eastern Orthodox stream of Christianity. They have a different Easter. It's confusing.
Try to explain anything about that lunar solar stuff.
I was just about to go there because I've had to look that up. And growing up, my mom was Greek Orthodox, and so we had two Easters. And then later on in my ministry years, I tried to figure out how to explain to people why there are two, the way they can compute the
Usually, you know, most years there's Western Easter and then Eastern, right, for the Eastern Orthodox.
Right.
But every few years they come together on the same Sunday. They're not always separate.
How about that?
A couple years ago they came together. So I can't explain. It's something with the moon and the sun and the planets. And that's all I know.
Yeah, I know. Me too. So, all right, Steve, let's get to some of the news.
Just a little quick thing for Ray. I saw a church sign the other day for Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
It said, "Get your ash in church."
Wow.
This might be my last day.
Get up, bump.
Day. You like Sandy Rios are on cold medicine.
The cold medicine.
I think a diet too, maybe. Who knows? We need to have a policy about people who are on cold medicine. You're not on the air when you're on cold medicine. All right. I want to hear about Puntland.
Yeah. Who knew?
Yes.
So a freighter, an oil tanker, has been hijacked off the coast of Somalia. And they say it's an initial test for President Trump to see what he's going to do with his foreign policy. Is he going to back up his bravado with military action, or how is he going to react to this? But the interesting thing to me was I found out that officials from the country of Puntland.
What? And this is not a joke. Yeah.
There's a country called Puntland?
I told him, Ray, during the break, Puntland. I said, I've never heard of it.
I hadn't either.
I'm Googling it.
As of 1998, Puntland separated itself from Greater Somalia, and it's officially titled Puntland State of Somalia. It has its own president. It's using the Somali shilling as currency. Official languages are Somali, English, and Arabic.
You're saying it's a division of what we normally just call Somalia, it's its own separate country.
They separated,
a breakaway,
and declared
state.
Independence in 1998. Puntland. And I expect
they had a survey to get the name of the country, and Puntland was number one. What was number two?
I don't know. I would have expected to see like Ray Guy be the
That's
president.
Right. I mean, what are we really talking about?
Ray Guy. Okay. For folks who have been watching football for a long time, that's the excellent punter for the Raiders.
One of the only punters in the Hall of Fame, maybe the only one. I'm not sure.
It played at Ole Miss, didn't he?
Southern Miss.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Ray Guy. Yeah, what a great punter. All right, so Puntland. Okay, now let me just throw a quick question to you guys. We'll get off the Puntland thing, but we'll stick with Somalia. My personal opinion is that I don't know why the Americans are always called upon. Pirates seize an oil tanker off the coast of Somalia, which is idiotic. I mean, you can't sell it. You can't sell the oil. I guess you can hold people hostage and hold the oil hostage. Whatever the company is that owns it is going to have to deal with that. I want to know why people want the Americans to go and, people talking about, well, we had to send in Navy SEALs. Those Navy SEALs are people's sons and, and I'm just sitting here going, why? Why send the Navy SEALs in? One of them gets killed with these idiot pirates. Why does the United States have to? Ray, what's your opinion? Am I going soft in my old age?
Well, it's really interesting I don't know, first of all, how old you are. No, you're not going soft. This is a good question, Ed. It's a good question. I would think that there would be some kind of measured response here. Maybe you, Kate, which nation it's?
I tried to look at that. It's called the Aris 13. Maybe you could Google that there.
All right.
Ship Aris 13. I couldn't find what nation.
How do you spell it? A-R-E-S?
A-R-I-S.
A-R-I-S.
Pardon my voice today, folks. It's
Aris 13?
13, yeah.
Okay.
And we can tell you where that flagship hails from. But, we've been fighting pirates, Ray, on the sea since the Botany Coast, wasn't it?
That's right.
The Barbary Coast.
Barbary Coast.
That was back in the 1800s.
That was Thomas Jefferson, one of his early foreign policy issues.
So it's an issue of free trade. And as the big boy on the clock, on the block, the United States kind of does have somewhat of a responsibility to make sure that international waters and sites are fairly safe. They've got, we've got
I can't find an answer to that question, now a British – this is an article from NBC News. A British-based spokeswoman for the European Union Naval Force Operation. So it might be a British ship, but I cannot find anything that says where it is from. Well, what do you think, Steve? Because we want to move on. Yep. I don't want to spend all – our last segment on the Somalis, Somali pirates. But what's your feel for whether Americans should be tasked every time a ship is captured by pirates and it's a lawless country, Somalia? I'm not even sure it's a functioning country anymore. But what's your sense? What's your opinion? This is just an opinion thing.
I kind of think that, as in most cases, any extreme is probably wrong. The extreme of not giving a hoot about what happens anywhere else in the world, if you're America and the only world's superpower, is probably being totally connected, looking inside and not caring at all is a little extreme. And going and being like President Obama in his globalist, I'm a citizen of the world, is the other extreme. Correct balance is somewhere in the middle, and I believe that as America, we do have a responsibility to somewhat make sure that people can be free on open oceans like this. So I think we do have a role to play because we're big and we're capable, and hopefully we have the right heart and intent when we go in and try to resolve these things.
Maybe, Ed, the point is that we shouldn't be the only ones, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we do have the largest military, and we have a huge vested interest in the free flow of oil from the Middle East. to the west.
True.
So
that's
a huge, I mean, that's an economic issue, a military issue, and so on. But we shouldn't be the only ones sending in our best soldiers to take out the pirates like this. We ought to have some help from others too.
Well, and I would just say this, lest I be accused of being an isolationist. I'm not, and I know that's not what you guys are saying. I would say, look, if that's the issue we're dealing with, we're talking about the free flow of oil, then there should be a coalition of nations, maybe the United Nations, and we should patrol that area. And you know how you have flight status, and you can't just fly a plane into LaGuardia if you want. You say no, you have to have papers, and you have to have this logged and that logged before you can fly in here. Then we ought to treat those waters off Somalia the same way. And if people ignore it and they are pirates, you sink them. that's why I say, look, you've been warned. We're going to send an Apache and off one of our small aircraft carriers, and you're going to the bottom of the Indian Ocean.
And by the way, I did find out this tanker comes from, again, from the Comoros Islands.
I know where that is.
You do?
This Comoros, is a geography lesson for me.
Comoros Islands are north of Madagascar.
Right.
Northeast, just a little bit left of Madagascar.
It's a flag. It's a tanker under the – how'd you call it?
Comoros?
Comorian Islands.
Learned that by watching those Madagascar cartoons?
I learned that from living there.
You live there?
In Madagascar, yeah.
Wow.
You were in Madagascar?
My folks are missionaries. I grew up there.
Steve.
Well, now I want to hear about this. I don't want to hear about it today because we got some stories, but we got to hear about that, Steve.
Oh yeah.
I want. All right, give us 2 minutes. Tell us a little bit about Madagascar.
It is nothing like you see in the movies. There are no penguins native to the island. You might see a couple in the zoo there. It's a third world country, very poor, and was a French colony. From 1960 on, it declared its independence, but it still has strong ties to France. French is an official language there. And I am most proud of my father for he had to learn his job as a missionary there was he had to learn French from English. And then when he got to Madagascar, after having known French for maybe 2 years, he had to translate an English seminary course for pastors into Malagasy from French.
Wow.
Because there was no English to Malagasy translation service. So he had to translate to a third language for him what he had learned from a second language. It is remarkable what he did there.
Well, so let me just ask just one other question here. The people there, would they be closer to black, like African, or would they be closer to like Indian from India?
It's interesting because there's a racial component going on there as well. The people more toward the coast are darker skinned than the people in the middle of the island. And while all of the island is financially or economically burdened far more than America is, the people in the center of the island, the lighter skinned people, still black by our accounting, consider themselves a little better
really?
Than the black people that are darker on the outside of the island. There's just racism going on between the two.
What's the religious breakdown?
There's a kind of an animist religion that that incorporates a little bit of Catholicism they got from France and spiritualism. That they got from who knows where, the witch doctor kind of
thing.
Well,
that was Africa before missionaries.
And so it's I don't know that it's an official state religion, but they call it FGKM, which I believe is FGKM, whatever that stands for in Malagasy. One of the interesting things that they do is they worship their ancestors. So there is a certain ceremony that they perform. In French, it's called the retournement, and I'm having a hard time with my voice, but it means to return. And they dig up the bones of their ancestors, and they have a party celebrating these ancestors.
They dig up their bones?
They dig up their bones. Their tombs.
You mean on a regular basis?
Yeah, well, as often as you can afford it, because if you're honoring and worshiping your ancestors, you want to give as much money and of yourself as you can to them to get their favor, is what they believe.
And their tombs are above ground sarcophaguses, you know, like...
Yeah, sarcophagi. Right.
Thank you. And they'd be owned by a family, and all the families would be in there. So it wasn't like you're digging down. You go into the vault, and they'd pull out... They'd dig you down a little bit. They'd pull out the whatever family member they wanted to celebrate. They would have a big feast, and then they would put this body or the bones, it depends on how long this person had been dead. If they'd been dead for a long time, it was a great-great-great-grandfather. They're just shouting and celebrating as they take a parade lap around the city in the streets with this.
So what is the bones are in a duffel bag or a Walmart bag? Or what?
Put it in
a
shroud.
A shroud, okay.
A shroud.
All right. Mm.
And if the person has been dead for a short time, if it's a mother or father that died within the last couple of years, of course, there's mourning, and the body is a little more, let's just say, there's more stuff to carry around.
Wow.
But this is their worship.
What and what's the spiritual? What's the implication of why are they doing this?
Well, it's a faith that has been passed down from mother to son to grandson to granddaughter along the ages. But it's a tribalism. It's a tribal religion. It's a spiritually oppressed place. You know, yeah. Anytime you look for worship of the other than God, if you declare your worship to anything other than God, Satan quickly comes in and fills that space. So there are a lot of demonic and satanic and black and dark activities on that island. The gospel, however, as it always does, takes a foothold, and there is also a thriving Christian community on that island. Of the fourth largest island in the world.
Madagascar,
really. Yeah.
Well, this has been fascinating. I got to say, it just was a surprise. We have story meetings, folks. We've mentioned it before, in the morning before we, then we go about our business and come here for today's issues. We didn't talk about this, kind of threw that in, and that was fascinating.
I knew where the Comorian Islands are.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking on Google Maps here. It's kind of off to the north and
north
the
and
west.
East or west, one of the two, yeah.
Okay.
The tip of Madagascar.
All right.
But those islands are a separate country.
They're not, no, yes, they are.
Okay.
And there is also a lot of, I remember there was a phrase that, because I played with the little Malagasy kids as a little kid myself.
Right.
And we spoke French and got along famously. It was great. But it's interesting to grow up as a minority in a country, even if you're white. I mean, we were thought to be rich, and we were compared to them. But there was a little phrase that said, "I la like ya, la like ya." And in Malagasy, that means, oh, dog. And one of my little boys in French asked me in French, why are you calling the Comorian people dogs? I didn't know. It was, you know, it's a divisive, insensitive, offensive term to referring to the people who live on the Comor Islands. They call them dogs.
Well, I would think it would be offensive no matter where you are.
Yeah,
I know. Call people
but
dogs.
You're saying that was okay on Madagascar.
Well, it was one of those things that you did back in the 60s that it was an expression that you used that would be politically incorrect.
Correct.
Now.
Okay, sure.
We all
calling Italians wops or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Huh. Well, that is fascinating. And it's one of the most interesting things you said. Just talking about how poor the people are, is that missionaries would be considered richer than the natives there. Usually we think of missionaries going over as sacrificing. I'm sure you did, but that's interesting.
Well, the American culture over there, the island was exploited. The oil companies were interested in the island for its oil, so Chevron and Shell had a lot of people there. NASA put a tracking station on the island during the Apollo days.
Okay.
And that was when we were there. So when the Apollo 11 or 13 or whatever number flew overhead, the station in Antananarivo, Madagascar, would pick it up. And so these were American scientists and NASA people. And then there were the missionaries. And well, we were white. We all came with support. And so we were. I mean, there's levels of poverty in this world that we don't even come close to understanding. And so this is what really kind of bugs me when you hear this politics of trying to shame someone for being rich. You know, when Hillary would say that the top 1% has to pay their fair share, you know, and everybody feels like they want to be at the bottom, and because they're victims and they're owed something. Right. But even the bottom in this country is nothing compared with the poverty that you will see in a country like Madagascar, Jamaica, closer to home, Philippines. I saw some of it there. It's just astounding poverty in this country that we don't have any way of comprehending.
Wow. Well, this was totally unexpected. That's, thank you for sharing some of
terrific.
That. That's
sure.
interesting. So you speak French?
Oui.
Wow. Well, I can say that, say. But I mean.
And Malagasy?
I don't speak Malagasy. My father does. My mom does. I can say a phrase or two in it, but no, because I got along fine in French. I learned French in Albertville, France. That's where my folks stopped for 1 year to learn the language.
Kind of be immersed
French.
In it.
Right. Yeah. And I was immersed in a grade school in France. So, and I spoke no French, not one word, the first day of school. And in 3 months, I was dreaming in French.
Wow.
Kids, go figure.
It worked. Yeah.
It worked. Yeah. All right. Well, look, we've got about 2 minutes left. Pick one of these two kind of neat stories, and we'll finish with it.
I'm going to go with this one. Ray, there's a house in Florida that had been robbed, and the family there had moved in not too long before that. And an 8-year-old girl was very saddened by the burglary, and she wrote a letter to the robber, and her mom posted it in their front window. And the letter reads, this is for, let's see if I can read this here.
Maybe we should translate it into Malagasy.
Yeah, Malagasy. This is for the robbers. Please do not steal in our house. And there are good kids and people in this house. We are people that do not steal. We are sad that you have been stealing in this house. And then she says, tell me why you're stealing stuff, and I will help you be a good person.
Oh,
I hope you will change and be good. God will forgive you.
You shared this story during our story meeting this morning. Oh, that is a neat. Now this is posted on the window
on
or something.
On the front window of the house. So when a burglar comes up to the house in this little girl's mind, they will see this sign and say, "Oh, we better move on to another house, or more appropriately, we better change our ways and seek forgiveness from God."
Well, Ray, to make more of this. I mean, this is a little child with a beautiful heart. Whatever knowledge she has of God, she understands, and that is what we all need. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but
that's right.
What we all need is a relationship with God, because it does change behavior.
If you start being nice, you will be forgiven. God will forgive you. Well, she's got the right idea about repentance and turning to the Lord and forgiveness.
And she was going to be the agent of change. Tell me why you're stealing stuff.
Yeah.
I will help you be a good person. I love
That's
that.
That's fantastic.
Well, listen, hey, this was an unusual third segment here.
It was.
Steve Jordahl, reporter
Thanks,
and
Steve.
News
That's
anchor
fantastic.
For American Family News. Thank you, for Steve, for sharing that about your youth. That was a treat. It was a treat for Ray and I know. I hope it was a treat for our listeners as well. Ray, thanks for being on with us today, buddy. We'll see you.
Thanks, Ed.
We'll hear you on Thursday. Folks, that is it. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. You've been listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're done for today, but more great programming straight ahead on American Family Radio. Bye for now. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow.